Hallelujah. Love, we give you praise tonight. To God be the glory for the great, wonderful, and mighty things he is doing in our midst. We give God praise on this day. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your day. We thank you in the name of Jesus for Word Wednesday. Now minister to us, Father God, through your word in the name of Jesus. You said in your word that it will not come back void, but it will produce, it will bear fruit, it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, those listening, those watching, may we be edified, educated, empowered in the name of Jesus to allow ourselves, to avail ourselves to your purpose in the earth realm. Now, minister to us through your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Word Wednesday. The previous week, we've been talking about the struggle being over. And tonight, we are going to, amen, not talk about that specifically, but the topic that I'm going to share is kind of in line with the struggle being over. To God be the glory. So let's go right to the Word of God, Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1. Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says so much. You know, Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul is writing to his brothers and his sisters in the things of God. Paul, as we look at this epistle, especially this 10th chapter, we'll see as he writes the entire book of Rome, to the book of Romans, you'll see through this epistle, Paul once thought like this. Paul once believed like this. Paul once, amen, operated and functioned like this. But Paul got a revelation. As we look to God be the glory, as we look and see through the life of the Apostle Paul, hallelujah, that Paul was writing to Rome to really try to get them to see what he saw and to open their spiritual eyes. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, we're going to give the topic as we read these first few verses. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They are zealous for God. They have passion for God. But Paul writes that it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end. Come on. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And tonight I'm going to simply talk about the new life in Christ. The new life in Christ. There's so much to say about this, and I know I can't cover it all tonight, but as we go into the Word of God, as we go into the Scriptures, as we look at the Word of God tonight, I believe that some things that I used to face and I had God to clear up, and maybe you're there, and there's some things that you need God to clear up. Because one might even ask today, Pastor alluded to it a bit on Sunday, that sometimes as believers, we have to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Paul writes time and time and time again that Christ is our foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation that all of us believers, past, present, and future, must build our lives on. It's on the solid rock of Christ. It's on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It's what he did. It's what he said when he was on the cross. He said, it is finished. And the finished work of Jesus Christ is how we find our righteousness. In other words, our righteousness is in Christ. Everything that we do as believers is dependent upon Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. And he says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. He says, I know you have zeal for God. I know you're passionate. I know you're determined. I know you're on fire for the things of God. I was just like you. But he says, it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to the righteousness which is in Christ. In other words, they didn't believe that the Messiah came. Come on, somebody. There were still Jews of the sect that did not believe like Paul believed. Glory be to God. And he says, our foundation is in him. Verse 5 says this, we're in the book of Romans chapter 10, we read 1 to 4. He said, it's through Christ that our righteousness is made to the end. And I'm going to share a little bit about what I believe righteousness is and what righteousness looks like. Amen, somebody. Because we need clarity and understanding. And tonight we're simply talking about our new life in Christ. I know when I got saved over 24 years ago, I had no idea what I was stepping into, but I know it was something wonderful. I know it was something, he's still working on me, but what I've come up with so far, I thank God that I made a decision for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. But the righteousness in Christ is simply and determined and dependent upon Jesus Christ. Verse 5 to 8, which I will not read, but I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, who can go up into heaven and get righteousness? Who can go down to the depths of the earth and pull righteousness up? Who can ascend or descend and pull up righteousness? In other words, he was saying, it's not by works. So the distinction between the Christian, the Mormon, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the atheist, whatever you want to say, Scientology, Illuminati, doesn't matter what religion, but our belief, the new life in Christ, is all dependent upon what Jesus did. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. The Bible says that our transgressions, our iniquity, all of the punishment and the penalty, our atonement, he was our substitute. So now this new life in Christ is through his righteousness. Amen. I'll never forget, I had a friend, she soon went home to be with the Lord. You remember Pastor Williams, Pastor? And Pastor, somehow I connected to this woman, church. I connected to her. And I guess I was intrigued because I never met a believer or a Christian that, number one, never owned a TV set, number two, never saw a movie. She used to say the picture show. And I was intrigued by that because I got a TV set and I went to many a movie in my day, before Christ and AD after Christ. And this woman, we talked a lot about the Bible. We talked a lot about the things of God. But I understood that some people don't believe like I believe. I thank God the church I came from, the assistant pastor was a woman.
Amen.
Dr. Glover Williams. Dr. Glover Williams. What was her first name? Dr. Bernadette Glover Williams was the assistant pastor under Bishop Donald Hilliard. And since being a pastor and since taught some of the things of God, there's so much in misinterpretation, let me say, about the Word of God. But Paul clears it up a lot in Romans chapter 10. Watch what he says in verse number 9. He says that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For the heart of a man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, who believes shall be not ashamed. For the difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, rich upon all that call upon him. Verse 13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, verse 14, how then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless there's a preacher? Come on. Glory be to God. The preacher simply proclaim, confess, declare, decree, prophesy the word of Almighty God. The preacher gives the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our job is to bring the gospel. That's why he continues to write and says, how shall they preach and shall they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring the tidings, but they have not always obeyed the gospel. It says right here, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of God. Verse number 21 says this, church, and I'm going to break this down. But to Israel, he say, all day long, I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Gainsaying people. God, not to you who are the believer, but to the unbeliever today. The gainsaying people was the people in Paul's day that did not yet believe in the works of Jesus Christ. Gainsay simply means this. I looked it up. It says to deny or contradict a fact or statement, to dispute or to disagree with, to argue with, dissent from, repudiate or challenge, an opposing point of view, to contest or to counter, a controversy or rebuke. It says to speak against or to oppose. How can we fight against God? I always say it, if there's no conviction, there's no change. The heart of the people of God in that day, they were so bent on keeping the law. I'll never forget, my wife was preaching one time at a church, and as we got out of the car and was headed for the church, we bumped into the pastor of this church. And I'll never forget the wife, the look she gave my wife. My wife had on her makeup, her heels, nice little outfit, looking good from head to toe, had her jewelry on. It just was a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. But the look this particular woman gave my wife, it looked to kill. Amen. In other words, we did not know we were going into what they would call today a holiness church. Amen, somebody. A holiness church was simply, I have on denim. My wife has on denim. Come on, somebody. And not every church under the sun today, not that they would stop you from coming into the doors of the church, but maybe you'll have a conversation with someone a little later that that's not allowed in this particular church. Amen. We call it a religious spirit, or we call it one that is now still keeping the law of what Moses put. There was a certain way you dress. There was a certain way you approach the things of God. There was a certain ritual and practice of certain things. And just by looking at my wife that day, she was being judged on how she looked, that you're not holy enough, or you're not holy based on your appearance. Come on, somebody. And Paul was saying that if we don't understand what righteousness means, if we're misled, if we're misinterpreted, if we don't understand what the Bible says, that our righteousness is not by works. Yes, we ought to live holy. Yes, we should try to live right. Yes, we should put down sin. Yes, we should turn away from everything not pleasing to God. But guess what? Your works is not going to get you into glory. We already got the deed. We already closed on that property up there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And God is saying through the life of Paul and through us that righteousness is not by works, it's through simply the finished work of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter number 6. We're in Romans chapter number 10. Now back up to chapter number 6. We're talking about the new life in Christ. Therefore, there's no condemnation unto those of us who are in Jesus. So we're not condemned when we do wrong. We're not condemned when we're still struggling with certain things. We're not condemned when we have not arrived yet in certain areas, but we still have a new life in Christ.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying tonight. And this new life in Christ, for some of us and all of us, is still being unfolded. It's still being revealed. We are still unfolding and uncovering some things that God wants to reveal to us. And we cannot judge one another. Oh, my God. See? Okay, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit pushing me. Y'all know how Holy Spirit do Anthony. Y'all know how Holy Spirit pushed me. It's not in my notes, but we're going there anyway. Matthew chapter number 7. Holy Spirit telling me to go and make it plain. Don't give them my opinion. But let's look at what the Word says in Matthew chapter number 7. I'm going to get back to Romans 6 in a minute. I didn't forget where I was going. But as soon as I said, don't judge, he said, go there. But glory be to God. As soon as the word came out of my mouth that we shouldn't judge one another, because I'm sorry, I know I'm still being judged.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna talk about the pastor with the dental. Somebody gonna talk about y'all give a little too much grace. Somebody gonna talk about y'all need to preach a little more law. Whatever you think about new creation, whatever you know about Pastor Abby, Pastor Rebecca, guess what? We in the Word. That's why it's Word Wednesday. I'm backing up everything I say with the Word of God. And when I say we should not judge, let's look at why. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 1. Are you there?
Yes.
It says this, and it's read in my Bible. That means Jesus is saying this. This is simply the Sermon on the Mount, verse chapter 5 to verse number chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount when he began preaching his earthly ministry after he was baptized with the water. We heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Take care and listen to him. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Wow. And it says this, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured again back to you. Verse 3, and he explains a little further why we should not judge one another. And why behold the mote or the little speck of dust that's in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam, the big old stick, the boulder that is in your own eye. Or how will you say to your brother or your sister, let me pull that speck of dust out of your eye, and behold, you still have issues in your own eyes. He says, you hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, then you shall see clearly how to cast the beam out of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again to render. But he makes it clear right here. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door will be made open. But every man that asks, receive. Everyone that seeks, find. Everyone that knocks, it shall be open. Now, just this word ignorance, has been misused many a day.
Yes.
The word ignorance does not mean we're stupid. It does not mean we're dumb. Ignorance just means we don't have the knowledge We just don't have the knowledge and the understanding in certain areas. And Jesus used harsh language like hypocrites and hard language like that because he was talking to a stiff-necked people in his day. He was simply saying, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, you priests, you high leaders, you're judging the people of God and you're not even checking yourself. You're looking down on those who are not as educated as you are, and Jesus was telling them, you hypocrite. He was speaking to the leaders of that day because they were judging people, and they were condemning people, and they were ostracizing people based on what they thought. But when Jesus came, he said, love your enemies. He said, those who persecute you, love on them. He said, give, and it shall be given back to you. He said, ask, knock, and seek, and the door will be made open. I'm so glad when I was ignorant of the things of God, as a new believer, I began to knock. What does that mean? I don't understand. I'm set up on the world. I'm set up on the world. All I know is world. What does that term mean? Glory be to God. What does it mean to plead the blood of Jesus? What does it mean my sins are forgiven? What does it mean I'm not condemned? What does all of it mean? We ought to walk in love in spite of the unlove that we're getting. Amen, somebody. The new life in Christ involves all of this. That we ought to not do it in our own righteousness because of what Jesus did when they tried to persecute him, he kept loving. Amen, somebody. When they tried to stone him, he kept trying to explain himself and his mission. When he was misunderstood, glory be to God, he broke it down in parables to the least common denominator in layman's terms. He made it into agriculture. He made it into life lessons. He broke it down that the babies and the children can understand why he was saying what he was saying. So when God is saying this new life in Christ, it doesn't mean we have a green light to sin. It does not mean that we can do whatever it is that we want to do. It simply means we ought to avail ourselves to teaching. We ought to avail ourselves to new understanding. We ought to avail ourselves to know what it is that we're a part of. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 6 now. Because there are many people who are not feeling worthy. There are many people who have backslidden and don't feel the need to come back. There are many people who have fallen away from the faith because of a sinful act, because of them doing something wrong, because they're struggling with certain sin natures, because they're struggling with certain things that got a hold of them. But the devil is a liar. You're a new person in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. I'm so glad when me and my wife didn't quite get it together. I had a pastor saying, you're not condemned, even though we said we didn't sleep last night. And what we slept last night was where we shouldn't have been sleeping last night. Come on, somebody. I'm so glad when we were still turning up. I still heard in my head, glory be to God, that you're not condemned. You turned up last night. You smoked last week. You did wrong on last month, but you're not condemned. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. God's going to give you room to get it right. Amen, somebody. God's going to give you time to get your act together. Yeah, you partied last night, and you went to church, hungover, but you made it there anyway. Glory be to God. You got the liquor on your breath. Hallelujah. You rolled up out of bed, and you made it to church. You're going somewhere for it. You're still convicted in the name of Jesus to get to the house of God. I know you're going to party. I know you're going to party like it's 1999, but I'm working on you. Glory be to God. I'm removing that appetite. I'm doing a new thing in your life. That's my testimony. Nobody ain't teach me that one. I learned that one. I lived that one. Amen, somebody. And the fact that we had good teaching and good understanding, and I allowed the Holy Spirit to do the correcting. I allowed the Holy Spirit to check me. I allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. So I got to the place where I stopped using certain excuses that I'm weak in certain areas. Yes, I'm weak in certain areas, but somebody told me, and my weakness is strength is made perfect. And I mean, in the lane on that thing, already an empty weak over there, and I know I'm weak over there. That's an open area. That's a vulnerable point. That's a weakness. That's the area that never can always get me in, but I'm going to put Christ on it. Amen. I'm going to ask Jesus to help me in that area. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, because there's a lot of misunderstanding in the things what we're talking about tonight, this new life in Christ. This chapter is talking about the sin and the grace of God. 6:1 says this, we're in Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? Know you not that so many of us, as we were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the, watch this, newness of life. We're walking in the newness of life. I'm going to read that again, because this is my main focus of my topic tonight, the new life in Christ. He said, we're speaking from Romans chapter number 5, where he said, through Adam all have sinned, through Jesus Christ all have been made righteous. Go back and read it in your leisure. Romans chapter number 5, he breaks it down, how Adam allowed sin to come into the earth, but the second man, Adam, through Jesus Christ, now we are made righteous. But he says now, do we continue to sin? He says no. But he says in verse number 4, therefore we buried with Christ, we are raised with Christ, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Look at verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no more serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse number 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, sin no more has dominion. It used to dominate us. It doesn't have dominion over us no longer. Verse 10. For in that he died into sin once, but in that he lived unto God. In other words, it says this. The new life in Christ no longer sin dominates us, but we dominate sin. We now have dominion over sin. We dominate it. It no longer dominates us. We control sin. Sin no longer controls us. Come on, somebody say amen. I am here to announce to the devil, you no longer have power over the people of God. You no longer control the holy creed like we're pumping. You no longer are dominating our nature, but it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That new life in Christ. Yeah, we were puppets on the street. Yeah, devil, you controlled it. Yeah, you were running things, but no longer. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The cares of this world, the things of this world. We're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to get there. Hopefully, yes, we have time. We're going to get there, but we just need to break it down and get it another perspective. Is there, even in our day, even in 2018, Thank God for the shout. Thank God for the praise. Thank God for church. Thank God that we get inspired, but we get inspired, hallelujah, to live out what we know to live out. We get preached to, we get teaching, we get taught, whether it's Word Wednesday or Sunday worship, whatever it is, guess what? It's building our spiritual person.
Yes, 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 yes.
Every time, that's why he said, faith come by hearing, hearing through the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing through the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, 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 hearing. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Faith, 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 faith. The word, the word, the word, the word. That's how we grow. We get to the place, and just like in the natural, you get that baby milk, you get that baby a pacifier, they graduate up to Gerber table food, then they start eating cereal in their bottle and their milk, and then you give them a little glory to God, a little mashed potatoes, and the next thing you know, after their appetite has changed. Amen, somebody. But they could not handle strong meat as an infant, as a toddler. But when they got older, they're like, are you serious, Mom? Come. If I'm going to grow, if I'm going to get strengthened, if I'm going to be all that I can be, I need to lay down milk and start chewing on some meat. Amen. And that new life in Christ says this. When I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I did like a child. But when I became a woman, when I became a man, when I got a little grown up, I put away. I put away the toys. I put certain things away. I put certain things down. I began to pick up certain other things. That's why I'm going to talk a little bit more about it Sunday, but matter of fact, we're going to look at a little bit of it tonight. But to be reliable, to be responsible, to be dependable. Just write those three words down in your notes somewhere. Responsible, reliable, dependable, and I'm going to add one more, accountable. Being responsible, number one. Meaning, I give you something to take care of, are you responsible? Being reliable, can I depend on you? Being responsible is that, okay, we're stewards. Pastor Rebecca and I are stewards over God's church. Right now, I'm watching over your soul. Right now, I don't play and I don't mislead you. My job is not to manipulate. Come on. My job is not to give you misunderstanding. I'm trying to break down the Word of God. I'm exegeting the Scripture on tonight because that blood will be on our hands. Our job is to watch over your soul. Our job is to watch over your soul. Our job is to get your soul right with God. Our job is to teach you about the nature of the God that you serve and his expectation of you as a child of God. So we're responsible as stewards, and many people are mishandling the church of God. But guess what? One day we're going to give an account. I'm sorry to say, pastor, preacher, apostle, teacher, bishop, one day we are going to give an account. That's not me, that's Bible. Glory be to God. He said, hallelujah, the shepherd should not scatter the sheep. Go back and read it yourself. Ezekiel chapter number 34. He said, when the shepherd, glory be to God, is struck down, when the shepherd is taken out, when the shepherd is mishandling the things of God, the sheep are scattered. Ezekiel 34. I don't have time to go there. But it says, when the shepherd ain't right, the sheep suffer. When the shepherd's not right, the sheep, the flock, suffers. But that new life in Christ, responsible, we're good stewards, we're good managers of what God gave us, reliable, you're dependable. I can count on you. Amen, somebody. I can count on you. I can depend on you. Responsible, reliable, dependable, they go hand in hand. I broke those two down together. And accountable, meaning that you're accountable. You're responsible, you're accountable for showing up, being there, being on time, Being in the right place at the right time and the right moment. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter number 7, and then we're going to get out of Romans and go to Corinthians. But again, I want to just break down this new life in Christ. Here's another one that I used to struggle with as a new believer. As a new believer, I had a desire to live right. I had a desire to change. I had a strong desire to turn over a new leaf, but I could not. And I thought something was wrong with me because the people that I saw, at least I didn't go home with them. I don't know how they were living, but what they put before me, amen, I'm just wrong by what I saw. And I saw people living right. I saw people living holy. I saw people getting married and being married. I saw people turning away from addictions. I saw people starting to do things. And I began to say, what's wrong with me? Why am I still in these clubs? Why do I still like to drink? Why am I still fornicating? My new life in Christ, they said my hands would be new and my feet would look new too. And I had the same old hands and the same old feet. Yes, somebody. I looked the same, but there was an inward change. And now watch Paul break it down to his brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans chapter number 7, verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that I not. For that I hate to do, I do. Verse number 17. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Look at verse number 21. I find in a law that when I do good, evil is present. Back up to verse number 19. For the good that I would do, I don't do it now. I do it now. But the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. Verse 20. Now if I do that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse number 24. Oh, messed up or wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this dilemma of death in my body? I thank God for Jesus Christ, the Lord. With my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. And then we always quote it, but understand why he writes in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, now therefore there is no condemnation. We always just put it out there. And people wonder why they feel so bad, even though we put it out there, therefore there's no more condemnation. He breaks it down in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 6. He said where sin is, grace abounds. In other words, God has given you grace. In other words, you have the ability to turn away from it. You have the ability to say no to it. He has given you grace, so when you say I'm weak, when you say I can't do that, when you say I can't resist that, when you say I can't show restraint, God has graced you. God has already given you something you ain't tapped into. And you're still confessing. That's why confession, we got to watch what we say out of our mouth. If we say we're weak, guess what? As a man or woman think in his heart,
come on, Pastor.
If I say I'm weak, oh, I'm showing up weak. Amen. If I say I can't, President Obama, he tried to turn that mindset around. His whole campaign, Obama for 8 years, I can. Yes, we can. And he changed the whole nation with a campaign saying, yes, we can. And the first African-American president, because he had a mindset, not like, I don't know if white people are going to vote for me. I don't know if women are going to vote for me. I don't know if the Chinese and the Jew are going to vote for me. But I'm going to run for president because I know I can win. I know I can win this thing. I'm qualified. I got the degree. I got the know-how to run this nation. I'm gifted in certain areas. And I'm going to run for president because, yes, I can. And he won. Not one, but two terms. Amen.
Amen.
But he changed, you know, he changed our mindset. Yes, we can. Amen.
Amen.
So when we look at Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, now we see through Scripture, therefore there is no condemnation. Now go to Corinthians chapter number 2. Because sometimes in the natural, we have not gotten there. The new life in Christ I'm talking about tonight, some of us are in process. Some of us are in progress. Some of us are headed somewhere that we've never been before. Amen. That's the beautiful thing about creation. That's why he says, another way of looking at it, don't judge one another. He says, we're one body. That's why we can't look at the AME church, even though we're non-denominational. We can't look at the Lutheran. We can't look at the Pentecostal. We can't look at Church of God in Christ and judge them based on their doctrine, because he said that creates division. Amen.
Amen.
Our job is not to tear down another denomination or another church. We're all of the same family. We're all of the same body. That spirit of division comes in and increases in, and it causes division. It causes discord. If you go back and read Proverbs, he said one of the things that God hates is discord. Those people that come into church and sow division. There are people in our family that have sown division. They are family members. They are friends. They are co-workers. There are some church people that have sown seeds of dividing. And it says God hates it.
Wow.
And that's what the devil does. Our house divided cannot stand. And Jesus told the devil to his face, guess what? If thou be against Baal, look, Beelzebub be against Beelzebub. Demons can't cast out demons, because guess what? That kingdom coming down. They tried to say Jesus is casting out demons with other demons. How crazy is that? Are we in 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter, I'm getting happy.
Amen.
Just turning to the scripture, I'm getting happy. Because this is one that keeps me going right here. This is one that keeps me going right here. I mean, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just love this scripture right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. We're talking about the new life in Christ. Verse number 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen. Your ears haven't even heard. Neither has it entered into your heart the things which God has prepared for them that love him. For God has revealed it unto you and to me by his Spirit. There's the big S, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. God is saying to us tonight, that new life in me, there's some things that your eyes have not seen, but my Holy Spirit is opening up your eyelids, and you start to see things that you never saw before. Glory be to my God. There's some things that you see today that you've never seen in your past. And now that you see it, you can become it. Now that you see it, you can have it. Now that you can see it, you can go toward it. There were some things that we could not see. We were so blinded by the pain in our life. We were so blinded by the unforgiveness in our heart. We were so blinded by the misled truth that we let into our life. But baby, the devil is a liar. Now God has opened my eyes. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, baby. I'm a new thing in Christ. I'm a new believer because of Jesus Christ. The Spirit has searched my heart. God really does judge the heart. The man judges the outward, but God judges my heart. So that when I fall, he judges my heart, baby. When I let that joker come back, he judges my heart. When I let that woman take advantage of me, he judges my heart. When I slip and I smoke again, or I slip again, or I drink again, he judges my heart.
and my heart says, God, I don't want to be that anymore. Please help me in that area. Now adjust my heart. Get back up. You said this last week, adjustment for all of a sudden love. But get back up. And now bring back to the right way. Sit in me from the down. I'm a straight man, you from the up. But maybe in the name of Jesus, this new life in your life, we can get back up, we can keep fighting, we can keep it moving, we can go forward by faith in Christ. And our ears have not heard the thing that he has prepared for us. That's why you got a preacher. I prophesy over your life right now. Abundance is coming to your house. Increase is coming to your house. Abundance and overflow are right there at your door. In the name of Jesus, you're going to be more happy this year than you've been in your entire life. Glory be to God. You're going to have more success this year than I've seen in my own life, because I believe it. When the preacher said it's going to be a year of abundance, all me and my wife, we can see a fruit over here, we can see a manifestation over here, we can see an increase over here, and behind us, there's some grace and mercy and goodness chasing us down. Oh, I wish you believed the word of God. Don't let the devil lie to you about what you're going through right now. If you believe money is coming, baby, money is coming. If you believe a husband is coming, baby, a husband is coming. If you believe brother is coming, take your brother coming your way. It's according to what you believe. It's according to what you think. It's according to what you understand. It's according to what's in your mind. That's why he says, the Spirit searched all things. Even when I was messing up, God was searching my heart. Even when I was messing up, God was searching my spirit. You don't know someone until you know their spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I said, you don't really know someone until you know their spirit. That's why the word says, check the spirit by the spirit. Check the spirit by the spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we don't need a lot to take the check. We don't have to carry a big old lie detector test around. We don't need DNA and forensic evidence. We don't need CIA. We don't need no forensic evidence. We don't need none of that stuff because we have the Holy Ghost showing us who people really are, showing us this new life in Christ. I have better for you. I have increase for you. I have abundance stored up for you. See, when I heard this kind of preaching, and I knew that I needed an alternative to what I was believing, because what I was believing, that if I get that good job, if I make a certain income, if I treat people right, they're going to treat me back right. If I live right, people are going to live right by me. If I do right, people are going to do right by me. But as I begin to live, as I began to understand life, as I began to step out and accomplish some of the things I thought would bring me happiness and fulfillment and joy. That's why when we always talk about the joy of the Lord being a strength, I've been in brand new cars, and that novelty wears off. Y'all not hearing me. I've been in new stuff. I done wore new stuff. I done experienced wonderful outreach and third world country. I done did such a thing that I thought would bring me everlasting joy. But can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody bring me joy like Christ. Can't no liquor. Can't no turnip. Can't no trouble. Can't no sex. Can't nobody money do me like Jesus. This new life in Christ, baby. That's what I'm talking about. We search our Lord and couldn't find nobody. Search our Lord and couldn't find that kind of fulfillment. Oh, it ain't like we need to look. Can I get an amen? It ain't like we need to search. Oh, glory be to God. It ain't like we need to participate. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But now he says, and this new life, and I'm done. In this new life in Christ, he said sometimes we got to take a page out of N.A., which teaches this philosophy. There are certain people
There's certain places and there's certain things you can't do no more. Certain places you shouldn't go anymore. There are certain people that we shouldn't be associated with anymore. Yes, we can love them, but certain people, certain places, and there are certain things that we should not indulge in anymore. People, write it down. Places, write it down. Things, write it down. There are certain places as a new believer that I used to frequent that I made up my mind. If I go back there, I'm going to stay in the past. If I go back to that booty bar, if I go back to that club, if I go back to those drugs, if I go back to that way of living, if I go back to those friends, if I go back to that clique, if I go back to that way of thinking, I'm going to stay stuck in the past. So people question this thing. Before I heard about the NA principle, I had a preacher saying, stop going there. If you want to change, get up out of there. If you want to change, get away from them. If you want to change, lay that down, don't indulge anymore. So people, places, and things, I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I did. And God made room for a new wife. God made room for me to increase my bank account. God made room for me to invest some of my money. And now I see my money growing. God made room for me to invest in endorsement, for me to bring in assets. God made room. Oh, glory be to God. Before I was in debt, I used to get hot, didn't have money in my account, still going to the ATM. Brother, God is a liar. God showed me how to budget now. God showed me how to save now. God showed me how to live the new life in Him now.
Amen.
So as we pray and close out tonight, the new life in Christ is going to take some hard decisions, making some hard choices, but I guarantee you it'll be worth it in the end. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the new life in you. Lord, we live in a world that continues to pull on us, a world that continues to entice us, a world that continues to try to seduce us. But Lord, we have a newness in you, and now help us to lean on your strength. Help us to lean on your spirit. Help us to lean on your knowledge. So God, we give ourselves away. We surrender and submit to your will. In Jesus' name, people of God, we say, amen. Amen, 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 and amen. We thank God. Please visit us Sunday, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. Sow a seed, nccmonline.org. Thank you in advance. Go in peace and serve God. In Jesus' name, amen.